Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hi, I'm Margie, and welcome to the Desert Island Dishes podcast. This is the podcast where every week I ask my guests to choose their 7 Desert Island dishes. These range from finding out about the dish that most reminds them of their childhood, the best dish they've ever eaten, and of course, the last dish they would choose to eat before being cast off to the desert island. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, as it genuinely really does help to give the show a little boost. And for that, I'm very grateful. So I headed out on a very rainy morning in London. I braved puddles and lakes on the pavement, and I battled my way to get to today's guest. And I'm very glad I did. Ben is absolutely lovely, and what he has achieved is just incredible. He's so modest, and I feel very proud to call him a friend. He does indeed, as he will reveal, have the word peas tattooed on his knuckles. He just really loves peas. Head to the website www.desertislanddishes.co to see a picture of Ben, as I do always think it's really nice to put a face to a voice. And you can see the recipe I've created in honor of Ben. Spoiler alert, there are peas. My guest today is Ben Branson. Ben is the founder of Seedlip. Seedlip is a non-alcoholic spirit, and it's the first of its kind, served in gorgeous clear bottles with beautiful branding, with names such as Garden 108 and Spice 94. It has all the romance and allure of a gin, except it most definitely is not gin. It's beyond clever. 4 years ago, teetotaler Ben started tinkering in his kitchen, buying a copper still and experimenting with herbal remedies. After hours of experimenting, Seedlip was born, and the first 1,000 bottles sold out in just 3 weeks. The next 1,000 sold out within 3 days, and the next 1,000 in 30 minutes online. Pretty impressive. Fast forwards to today, and Seedlip's success is the kind that most startups can only dream of. They are stocked in Fortnum & Mason, Selfridges, high-end bars including the Savoy, and in over 100 Michelin-starred restaurants including the Ledbury and the Fat Duck. Drinks giant Diageo wanted in on the action and invested very early on in Seedlip's journey. But behind every fairy tale story is another more interesting saga of hard work, and as most entrepreneurs will tell you, there's no such thing as an overnight success. Ben bottled and labeled the first 1,000 bottles himself. He's on the road for more than 240 days of the year and recently attended 20 events in 20 days. When asked the thinking behind Seedlip, Ben answered, "I was sick of drinking tonic water on its own, and I didn't want to order a Shirley Temple with umbrellas and cherries hanging off it." Welcome, Ben.
Hello.
Now, what have you got against Shirley Temples with cherries and umbrellas?
Yeah, I don't know if this world, we have a word that's banned, sort of the Voldemort word of Seedlip, which is mocktails.
Oh, I thought you might say that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, fruity, sweet, pink.
Yeah, sort of the antithesis of what Seedlip is about.
Exactly.
So Ben, we met many years ago, right when Seedlip was barely more than a twinkle in your eye. And I think I was amongst one of the first people to try the sample.
Yes.
Which is a fact that I tell pretty much anyone who will listen at parties. I've already described a little bit about what Seedlip is, but do you want to explain exactly what a non-alcoholic spirit is?
Sure. So we've created and developed a process using distillation. So what many people will know from the world of vodka, whiskey, gin, using copper stills. to individually kind of capture, I guess, the uniqueness and character of each of the individual plants that we work with. And then not adding any sugar, sweetener, no calories, no allergens, but to have something that's best mixed with something like tonic or in non-alcoholic cocktails.
It's so clever because you do kind of have to taste it to understand completely, but it's got the same, I mean, I'm going to pretend like I know all the technical lingo, but like the same mouthfeel as something like gin. Like it satisfies that sort of thirst that you might get for a drink. It's just unbelievably clever.
Yeah, it's very, we deliberately decided not to use juniper, which you have to call it a gin. And so we wanted to, I was desperate to kind of work with ingredients on my farm. So we use my peas, you know, and I love allspice berries. So in the other product, in Seedlip Spice, we kind of wanted to base a flavor profile around allspice berries. And so they're really unique flavor profiles, but they really come to life through a drink. And I guess they're very adult.
Yeah, I was going to say that. They're very grown up.
Yes, which was important because you've got fruity, sweet, you know, childish drinks that you're offered where you feel left out.
Yeah.
no one wants the orange juice.
No one wants your, and no more elderflower.
And no more elderflower cordial.
Right. Let's talk about the first desert island dish of the day. And that's the dish that most reminds you of your childhood.
So we've been arable farmers for 320 years up in Lincolnshire. And we did dabble with some livestock when I was going back kind of 20 years, and we had some sheep. My mum's a great cook, and shepherd's pie was a winner on all accounts, but I was kind of fascinated with, you know, the fact that we had sheep and that I loved going picking, you know, lambing, picking out the lamb's tails and trying to play shepherd. And then just the simplicity of kind of a dish that's hearty that your mum's cooked, and the fact that peas are involved, which I love.
Yeah, peas are the best.
And ketchup.
Yes.
It was just like,
you can't have shepherd's pie without ketchup.
You cannot have shepherd's pie without ketchup. No. And so it's something that I don't have. I would never have it in a pub. I'd never have it in a restaurant. It's one of those like, this is for home.
Yeah. Well, I think it's when you have something that amazing with ingredients like that, it's sort of hard to go back to just like a bog standard one, isn't it? It kind of ruined you for life.
Yeah, and it's not cottage pie either.
No.
You know?
No.
It's shepherd's pie.
Yeah. So was everything home cooked when you were growing up?
Yeah. I mean, mum was, you know, having like a sack of our potatoes in the kitchen. It was just an amazing way to learn about where our food came from when it was from you. That, you know, you see today, people, kids think, you know, things grow in supermarkets.
I know. They don't know where
things... sad, and they don't really know where things come from.
Well, I remember being quite shocked. I mean, I don't think you'd grow this in the north of England, but seeing how pineapples grow and just, yeah. No, so bad.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The age of 30 and I'd never seen that before.
Avocados.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, it's, I mean, with Seedlip, it's opened up my eyes in terms of just reconnecting with what we do at the farm and how things are grown all over the world and sustainability, et cetera.
Yeah. And so you still grow lots of your own vegetables. And last year, Seedlip had a garden at the Chelsea Flower Show.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It was one of those things where we were asked, which was very nice, if we wanted to design a garden for Chelsea.
I mean,
that was amazing.
Incredible.
And it was one of those, I'm going to say yes, I've got no idea.
Yeah.
What this takes, how much it costs, whether we can do it, how you do it.
Just say yes.
Yeah. And then we'll sort of scrabble around and try and figure out how to do it.
Like Joey Tribbiani and friends.
Exactly.
Asked if he could speak French.
Exactly.
You just say yes.
Just say yes. And it was a, you know, we were 6 months old. There were, I think, six of us in the business at the time. And we had a hell of a load of other things that we really should have been doing. This was a 10-month project, you know, with considerable cost, time, effort. But it was such an amazing way to kind of, we talk about, you know, being a nature company. It was kind of like, amazing. I'm actually getting pea seed from my farm, sending it down to the growers who are going to grow my pea plants, are going to sit on our garden at Chelsea Flower Show.
It's amazing. And yeah, it makes so much sense for your company. And you say that you were approached, but I just love things like when it happens and it's sort of exactly the right thing that you guys should have been doing.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is we were approached by a man who we've just hired.
Oh, really?
Who just started beginning of this week, actually, as our head of horticulture.
Oh, great. Oh, that's jealous. So cool that jealous. you have a head of horticulture.
Jealous. So yeah, he's going to be up at the farm.
That's amazing. Right, Ben, I want to know about the second desert island dish, and that's the first dish you learned to cook.
So I've sort of skipped ahead a bit to the first proper dish I was taught to cook.
Yes.
I love my food and left school and didn't really know what I wanted to do. Went and did a cooking course at Lees.
Yes.
And the roast chicken that we were, you know, it was the first proper time I was taught how to cook a gravy and the importance of stock and just creating a really rich, wonderful, velvety gravy that we were then examined on. And this plonker next to me knocked the gravy boat over.
Oh,
on the
no,
floor.
The final moment. Oh, no. That's
so
disaster.
I kind of, and the road, you go to a pub or whatever, you go around someone's house and you have a roast, and it's actually, it's a really simple, age old thing. You know, some meat, veg, potatoes, and really good gravy. But how to plan that out?
Yeah.
And coordinate it and sequence it so that everything sort of, it's a bit, you know, orchestra crescendo.
Yeah, no, it really is.
And my brain's not that logical and not that good on the timing and sequencing side. So it was like a jigsaw puzzle to put together. There was actually this really simple dish. Again, it involved peas, so I was happy.
Yeah.
And I passed with distinction and I'm very happy with my
roast.
I
like how you got that in there.
With my roast chicken.
So is that something that you still make now?
Yeah, it's something that when I've been moved out of cooking duties, because my fiance is a trained chef. So very lucky.
Yeah,
that,
very, you know, lucky.
We both love food and I don't get to cook very often now. But yeah, you can't beat a roast.
No, you really can't. So I want to know, at which point when you were making your first samples of what would then become Seedlip, did you get that feeling that you really might be onto something?
I still don't have that feeling.
But no one else was doing what you were doing. So there must have been elements where you just, you know, you sort of asked yourself, what were you doing?
I'm still asking myself, what am I doing? When you've kind of, I don't know, it's strange because you believe in something and you think in my case, I was like, look, I think, you know, I don't want to drink another crap mocktail. There must be something that's better, more adult, more sophisticated. And so it started with me trying to solve my own need.
Yeah. Which is a good place to start.
Which is a good place to start. And then I had the inklings of a crazy belief that maybe other people, regardless of why they're not drinking alcohol, should also get to have a great grown-up option if they're not drinking, that's not fruity and sweet and full of sugar. But then I was doing it on my own. So you're in the hole of kind of your own thoughts, your own beliefs, your own ideas.
And then you probably tell a few close friends who are like, yes, Ben, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And you're like, I don't really, you know, it's sort of family and friends. You're kind of like, hey, I know you want the best for me.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to shoot me down in flames straight away.
So do you remember the first person who you weren't related to and who wasn't a good friend that you told about what you were doing?
I remember I had a school friend who's also in the drinks industry, and he was someone that I hadn't seen for quite a long time. And so he was kind of like, I knew him well enough because we'd spent a lot of time at school together. And I knew he was in the drinks industry. So that was sort of my start of like, okay, I'm breaking out of, you know, telling my dad about this.
Yeah.
And the start of like, have I actually got something that's interesting? And then to be honest, to me, the whole acid test of all of this was, I need to take this to someone really, really top of the range and who I know is going to give me some really honest kind of clear feedback. And a friend of mine introduced me to the bar at Selfridges.
Which is kind of a scary moment, isn't it? Because I imagine it's quite nice for a time being in sort of a cocoon thinking, I've got this great idea. I'm just not going to tell anyone who could shoot me down. And I'll just keep thinking it's a good idea.
Yep.
Then having to meet someone like that, I mean, that just puts it all into perspective.
It does put it all into perspective. And I was at this time I was still sort of like, I was running my own design agency. And I was kind of like, man, I just want to do something part-time, something on the side, yeah. See how it goes, nice and quiet, just a little project. And going to meet Dawn, who is the spirits bar at Selfridges, and I had some liquid in a bottle, and I had a bottle of tonic, and I had a bottle opener, and I had some pictures of what the design looked like. And for her to tell me before I went that she, A, didn't like anything without alcohol in.
Brilliant.
Great. And B, that I would have 15 minutes of her time.
Awesome.
Okay. I was sort of prepared for this onslaught of like, let me try and say as much as quickly as possible and see what she thinks. I spent an hour with her. She wanted to take it there and then of like, let's launch
it.
It was surreal. And then to leave, and my memory is pretty bad, but I remember there's a Italian coffee shop opposite Selfridges, and I just went in, I sat down and I ordered a coffee, and I was just started trying to collect myself. And then my inbox just went boom, 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 five times with the same subject line in each one. Awesome new product, awesome new product, awesome new product, awesome new product. And she basically, without telling me, had decided she wanted to introduce me and the fact that she'd come across Seedlip to the five best bartenders in London.
Oh my God, Ben.
So yeah,
that's like beyond anything you could even hope for from a meeting.
I was just like, whoa, okay, great. We've got her endorsement and that's sort of surreal. Yeah, then I guess the cat is out the bag.
Yeah.
And suddenly...
Suddenly it's not a part-time thing.
Yeah, it's not a little thing that you're working on at home.
No.
That you're really selective of who you choose to tell and you can be as...
But I guess that's kind of good in a way, because it sort of, I mean, obviously good in many ways, but it gave you the nudge that you possibly needed to, you know, make it what it is.
It did. And I guess then you then do get those little inklings of, oh, maybe there could be something in this.
Yeah, definitely maybe. Ben, let's talk about the third desert island dish. And that's the best dish you've ever eaten.
This is so hard. Because I love restaurants so much and I've got a terrible memory.
Yeah. a great combination.
I mean, the one that it was a meal actually, instead of one specific dish, that it was just, it was last year actually, Single Thread Farms, which is a now two-starred restaurant outside of San Francisco. Carl McLaughlin, who used to be one of Heston's right-hand men at the Fat Duck, they'd served created a non-alcoholic pairing menu using Seedlip.
Great.
Which was amazing. They grow a lot of their own stuff, and then Kyle's got a big Japanese influence, so it was this wonderful, like, amazing Japanese ingredients with produce they'd grown on their farm as well. And so it was a very interesting combination. And they served this plate that was a homage to the pea, and no one listening can see.
Homage to the P.
No one listening can see, but I have four letters tattooed.
Oh yeah, I was actually just looking at that.
On my knuckles, the word peas. And yeah.
This is a serious love.
It is a serious love. And because of Kyle, because of that dish, I asked Kyle where he'd got his peas from. Explained that we were pea farmers and Seedlip Garden used my peas and I loved peas. And he said, we get them from a man called Dr. Calvin Lamble. I was like, who is that? I've never heard that name. And Dr. Calvin Lamble's the inventor of the sugar snap pea.
Oh my goodness. What a legend.
What a legend. Yeah. And even more of a legend.
Why is he not more famous?
I know. This was only released in 1979.
I mean, that's outrageous.
And Dr. Calvin died last year, at the end of last year. And we're working with his son. And I went out to see his pea laboratory in December. We have a garden at Chelsea this next year that's all about the pea. And we're getting three world exclusive launches of pea varieties on our garden.
So what was one of these amazing pea dishes that you ate?
Well, it was a dish that was all basically in a pea pod that had been sculpted out that used... Dr. Calvin created these different strains of sugar snap peas. Some were pink, purple, yellow, these amazing pea greens that look like a kind of hedge, but they're actually pea shoots.
Oh my goodness.
Just it was pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
And just the importance of A, how amazing I'm being, as the fact I'm not drinking, I'm being catered for.
Yeah.
And I get to enjoy delicious drinks as well. B, the fact that it was surreal that was Seedlip, and C, what it's led on to in terms of both our relationship with them, but also being able to go and visit a pea breeder.
I mean, just, you're living the dream, Ben.
It's mad.
So I came across something you said where you said that a client had told you that typically a human being has a repertoire of 6 drinks.
Yes.
But Seedlip actually falls into its own sort of extra category. Have I got that right?
Yeah, well, so mum's in farming, dad's in design, and I thought farming was very uncool, and so I went into design.
Yeah.
And followed dad. And I remember doing a project with Dow Egberts, the coffee.
Yeah.
And this is where I first learned this, that they were talking about, you know, people typically have 6 drinks. And when you actually think about it, you're like, oh my God, actually, when you think, you know, water, tea, coffee, juice, that's already 4.
Yeah. So then what are the other 2?
And then you might have, it might be wine.
Oh, I see.
And
beer. Yeah. And then you're done.
And that's it. Mm. And so actually and that's not including a soft drink, a fizzy drink. So actually our repertoire is really small. It's what I guess some of the drinks industry talk about in terms of like wanting to be one of, you know, get into people's repertoire.
Yeah.
And how difficult that is to penetrate.
Yeah. You want to get into their daily ritual.
You want to be a habit.
Yeah.
And you want people to, always, you know, things like coconut water, you could see over the last 5 or 6 years have crept into being in people's daily repertoire and into their habit and their basket.
So what you've done with Seedlip is so ambitious because you are a new category, but I mean, you've done it. It's amazing. But
yeah, well, I think we'd hope that, you know, on that Monday night at home, instead of a glass of wine, that a Seedlip and tonic would fit the bill.
Yeah, and it definitely does. I am maybe the biggest gin and tonic fan ever, but I very regularly switch a gin and tonic for a Seedlip.
Yeah, nice. Like
I love it so much. And it just, it's as satisfying. It sort of gives you everything that the gin and tonic would, but you don't wake up the next day with a hangover.
Yeah, I think it's the ritual of making a drink.
Yeah. You don't feel like you're missing out on anything.
Yeah, and getting the ice out and a garnish and just a little bit of that theatre that makes it feel special.
Yeah, and it's so, so lovely and bitter, but delicious.
Yeah.
Right, Ben, we're on to the 4th desert island dish. That is, what is your favourite sandwich?
I love cricket and I cannot get away from kind of sandwiches at tea time.
Oh, yes.
And ham, cheese and pickle. Find me a better sandwich. Yeah.
And is that sort of all sorts? You'd happily have one that you buy, you'd make one yourself. Are you thinking those sort of cricket teas where someone's cut off all the crust?
Yeah, I'm thinking like little triangles. And
is there anything better?
I mean, I like cheese. I'm not fussy cheese-wise. To be honest, with ham, cheese and pickle, I'd go, you know, bog standard ham, cheddar and Branston pickle quite happily.
Simple.
I'd also, you know, you go to a nice, very nice pub and have a homemade chutney and, you know, some beautifully carved wheelchair hat, you know.
Yeah.
I could happily do that as well.
There are different levels, but you're happy with anything.
Ham, cheese and pickle.
Yeah. I heard a really interesting interview you did where you were talking about competition and you were saying how good competition is. And the example that you gave was Vita Coco and Innocent and how actually, it was a really good thing for Vita Coco that Innocent made their own coconut water, so grew the category. That sounds like an invitation, Ben.
Yeah, it's not an invitation. I think from what my learning of kind of categories, and I'm no expert in it, but I think there are lots of examples within different industries where you can't just be a category of one in order for it to A, be a proper category, and B, to actually properly expand, grow the awareness without doing all of the work yourself. Whereas, and coconut water is the perfect example. You know, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, it didn't exist in the UK. Now there are over 50 brands, for example.
Yeah.
And it's that's too good and bad.
Yeah. And it, but it's too much for one brand to do all of that work on their own. You
it
sort
is.
Of need a big player to sort of do some of the legwork.
You do. And in the spirits world and in the wine world and in the beer world, you have, you know, associations and a big community aspect to something like single malt and the Scotch industry that's actually about the what's good for the category and what's good for the industry.
Yeah.
And that's not about competition. It's about actually protecting the care and consideration and quality and the amount of work and effort that goes into making these things. And
yeah,
we would follow that same approach with Seedlip. And, you know, we've seen people start to come into the market. We've seen people start to try and copy us. We've seen other interesting kind of products that actually we're massively in favor of. And it's a interesting time because
yeah,
there's people wanting to make a quick buck and there's other people who are putting real care and craft into what they're doing.
Yeah, with something like what you're doing, I guess it's very easy to see who's in it for the money and who's in it for the love of it.
It is. And, you know, this is, it takes 108 days on average to sow, grow, and hand pick my peas before they even see a copper still.
Yeah.
And it's 6 weeks to make a bottle of Seedlip. So this is not a quick overnight wham bam thing, you know,
yeah,
all done and dusted. It's got to be right. And, you know, technically it's difficult. And so that's the only sort of, yeah, concern around competition is that you want it to...
You don't want people to dilute the market with rubbish stuff.
No, no, you want that, people yeah, to, for the good of kind of actually giving people a good option if they're not drinking, they,
yeah,
they need to be good quality.
Yeah. We're on to the fifth desert island dish, and that's the dish you eat the most often.
Yeah, so this is the sad question for me.
Does it feature peas?
No, but it features airplanes.
Oh, wow, you're talking to the wrong person there, Ben, because I love plain food.
Yeah, so this is a nice problem to have, and it's a surreal kind of situation of, you know, we're Seedlip's now in 15 of the most dynamic cities around the world, and that's from LA to Sydney, which means I do a lot of traveling. And I always start from a point of I'm going to eat beforehand and not have the food on the plane.
It's so hard to do that, though.
And then you're in the bubble of the plane and they put this thing in front of me and I eat it.
Yeah, you just turn into sort of Homer Simpson.
You like, do. And you're not like going anywhere.
No.
So someone's just kind of put a plate of food in front of you.
Yeah.
I like food. So, yeah. So sadly.
I'm kind of jealous.
It's a lot of plane food and hotel food.
I have what is perhaps a silly question, but with all of your experimenting and flavor combinations, have you made a flavor that was just gross?
You made lots of things that are gross.
It's like something that you thought, oh, this is going to be amazing. And then
yeah,
you made
things like it's actually florals are really difficult to work with, lavenders and roses.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, you kind of
tastes venture, like a bath oil.
Yeah, and you venture into real soapy territory. So they do not work. I've made some horrible things, you know, using, I mean, I've got all kinds of things on the go in my garage, but, and some of them will taste nice and some of them
yeah,
will fail. And that's part.
I mean, that's just the nature of
it. That's just the nature of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, lavender.
That's a tricky.
I love the smell of it, but.
Yeah.
It doesn't
nice in
taste.
Candles, nice in bath oil.
Yeah.
We don't want to drink it.
No, no one wants to taste that.
The sixth desert island dish is your go-to dinner party dish.
My go-to dinner party dish is actually one that I haven't created yet. And I know that's such a cop-out.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Well, I bought for anyone who knows about smokers.
Yes.
I bought a Bradley smoker, Bradley Cold Smoker, which is a pretty good smoker.
Yeah.
and it's a pretty big smoker. I like all smoked food, drink. And so I kind of, if I had the more time,
Would you smoke?
Well, I could base a menu around the actual ingredients that we use in Seedlip, but actually take them from a drink to a dish. And so when you've got things like oak and cardamom and grapefruit, and so smoking things like grapefruit peels and yeah, for food.
So this is where you can really indulge your sort of inner crazy scientist.
Yeah, because I've got all these, you know, I've got stills and sous vide ones and smokers and loads of fun stuff in my garage. And so I approach a drink and we approach making our cocktails as like a, hopefully like a chef would approach making a plate of food.
Yeah.
And that starts with incredible ingredients and great produce.
Yeah. It's really hard to make something amazing without that. And yep. actually surprisingly simple to make something delicious yep. if you've got great ingredients.
Yeah. I bought some, I love oranges, and you know, the difference between an Emperor orange and a Seville orange, you can just see the difference.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, kind of go, I don't get to create food very often, but the challenge of taking, you know, peas, hay, rosemary, thyme, spearmint, and hops, which we use in Seedlip Garden, and reversing it and thinking about a plate of food, I think would be pretty exciting to serve something.
Okay, well, when you get around to doing that, I will come and eat it.
I'll let you know.
We're just about still in January now, the famous dry January. Mm. But I wondered, are people drinking less in general? Is that sort of a trend that you're
seeing? The trend is, yeah, globally, that people are drinking less volume of alcohol. They're willing to spend more on what they drink, which yeah. ultimately means they're drinking better.
Yeah.
That's the kind of, yeah, that's what's going on in alcohol. And then in soft drinks, people are drinking less sugary, fizzy drinks.
Yeah.
And they are willing to pay more for better drinks, and they're drinking better soft drinks.
So sort of the perfect, like with any business, obviously timing is key, and you literally couldn't have planned it better. It's amazing.
It's everything.
Yeah. Like a triumvirate. 100%, is that the right word?
99% of the growth that we've seen is all down to the timing. It's if we launched 2 years later, we'd have been too late. And if we'd launched 2 years earlier, I think we would have had a really difficult 2 years.
Because it is possible to be too early.
It is. It yeah. really is. And my, to be so bold as to say kind of
success.
No. Starting working on Seedlip.
Yeah.
And mucking around with stuff, I was too early.
Yeah. But you needed that stage.
You do. And it took me 2 years to create Seedlip. So the nature of how long it takes to create food and drink companies and new processes, etc.
And you actually have no control over the timing. So you can only do what you can do. And
yes,
you know,
and that's as fast as I could. I'm very impatient. And yeah. that's as fast as I could do it.
Yeah.
But it's at a time when it rings true with people that actually, yeah, they don't want to have a glass of wine at lunchtime.
No.
Because they want to be able to go back to work.
Yeah.
And
I know, think back to the olden days.
Yeah.
The olden days.
Years ago.
Days of yore.
Yes. And
yeah, people got so drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Half
yeah, yeah.
You're
like, well, then that's the afternoon over.
Well, yeah. And the next day, it's just
yes.
a write-off.
Yes.
And just full of bacon sandwiches.
Yes. That was a good shout for the sandwich.
We're on to the final 7th desert island dish. And that's the last dish you would choose to eat before being cast off to the desert island.
Roast lamb from my mum, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Mint jelly, I'm a massive fan of. And I go back up to Lincolnshire, I don't know, I try and get back up there sort of once every 3 or 4 months. And mum loves doing it.
Aww.
And she knows I love it. And, you know, especially if I can be up there with my brothers as well. She makes way too much.
The best.
I eat way too much.
Yeah. How could you not?
No one can do it better. You know, no one can do it better. So I think, A, it'd be before I go off to some desert island, it'd be lovely to actually see my mother.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing to do. I mean, the fact that I'm actually asking her to cook for me, you know, is another one, but
she won't mind.
She won't mind.
And Ben, you're allowed to take with you one luxury item. What are you going to take with you?
That is a very good question. I think I'd probably take my Jack Russell.
Oh, I mean, as a dog lover.
I mean, my fiance would.
You're not allowed to take people. And I told,
you're not allowed to
I obviously
people.
Told okay. you that before.
Oh, yeah, of course. I knew that. Yeah,
but don't you have two dogs?
I do.
So that's a bit mean. Why are you taking the Jack Russell?
Kiwi was, I mean, the background to this is my mother, hearing a lot about my mother this interview, she's dog crazy. So we grew up with 8 dogs.
Okay.
And love dogs. And Kiwi was my first dog of my own.
Yeah.
And she's 9
Yeah,
now.
She's your firstborn.
She's my firstborn. She's an absolute little monkey. But Yeah, I think she'd be good for hunting.
You could use her as a pillow.
She's a good barker.
Yeah, great.
Good pillow.
Okay, well, we're going to send you and Kiwi off to the island. Thank you so much for letting us hear your desert.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you're feeling inspired after that. Loads of little nuggets and tips in there. And I mean, I definitely learnt loads. Not least that maybe I need to stop banging on about how much I love plain food. Anyway, have a wonderful week, everyone. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Don't forget to rate and review. And of course, tell all your friends. Thank you and bye for now.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.